Well, Len, we're back for another week of our podcast, and we're also gearing up for our first show of Golfers on Golf Radio tomorrow afternoon, teeing off here locally at 4 o'clock. But we're looking forward to welcoming you back to the show somewhere around 5:10 Sarasota time.
I'll look forward to it. That kind of marks the real start to the golf season, Rory, when Golfers on Golf is back on the air. We know that we're going to give everybody just what they want to hear about, a lot of golf.
One of the other things that always marked the start of golf season for both you and I, well, when we were both over here in Arlington Heights in the same neighborhood together, was seeing the pins in the green at Nickel Knoll Golf Club up here on Peyton's Hill. And the pins are out. People have been out playing. And that's always another sign of summer here in Illinois as well.
You know, I miss Nickel Knoll. That might be the best par three course in Illinois. At least it was my favorite because I lived right outside the entry, right across from the entry road to go into it, and played it lots and lots and lots of times, including the last time I was in Illinois, which is October of 2019, and you were there. We had a little outing on the day after the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame inductions, and a good time was had by all. I had my grandson out there playing along with a lot of other good friends, and it's still a nice memory.
Well, quite a Illinois Golf Hall of Fame induction ceremony it was that night. Yourself, Emil Esposito, Carol Mann, you know, outstanding group of inductees, William Langford, the great golf architect. And so there was quite a crew of people that went in that night. And pretty soon, before too long, we should be getting the list from Director Tim Cronin, committee chairman, on the list of who the almost 25 to 30 names are that are starting the year on the ballot before that number gets reduced down to 10, top 10 in ties, and then eventually the people who get inducted later this year.
It'll be interesting to see the new people that might be go up for a nomination. I mean, just the people that are still up from the previous two induction classes who didn't make it in yet. I had a lot of good names there. So it'll be interesting. We can be sure there'll be another good class come this October when the next induction ceremonies are held.
Well, I had a chance to go through the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame this morning while over at the Illinois PGA and having some other golf-related meetings in the building. And it was nice to see everything that is there on display, including the Len Zeem and Carol Mann and Emil Esposito pictures and the Hall of Fame plaques right near the Illinois Open trophy that's located in the center of the building. And I have to tell you, the Hall of Fame area looked really nice. And there's plenty to see if you enjoy golf history in Illinois.
Well, the Glen is going to be the site of a tournament, I believe. It's still next month, the Evans Scholars Invitational, the first big event of the Chicago season, a Corn Ferry Tour event that'll have a number of Chicago players in the field, notably Nick Hardy,
Vince India,
and Dylan Liu, and Dylan Wu, and a lot of good players. So that'll be a good one. It wasn't held there last year because of the date changes created by the pandemic. It's a good event. I'm glad that it'll be back at the Glen this year.
Len, yesterday I was able to spend some time over at Cog Hill yesterday and take a look around. And after talking to General Manager Troy Newport, he brought me up to speed on improvements at the driving range over at Cog Hill. And it was interesting to see what they have done. And since they have added Top Tracer range, one of the things that you really need to track your golf ball to get it loaded into the system, especially if you're keeping track of yardage or you're playing a game against your friends, you do need to have some sort of daylight so that the cameras can follow the golf balls. And Cog Hill has decided to, with the golf boom, they've never had a driving range that was really open past sunset. And that is going to change this year. It looks like Sunday through Thursday, the range will be open till about 10 p.m., Friday and Saturday nights till 11. And in order to use Top Tracer at night under the lights, there's a new full bank of lights up under or on top of the areas that cover the hitting bays now that people use in the winter that have the heat blowing down so people can hit balls kind of year-round. But the lights are there to track the balls for Top Tracer, and also the lights will make that facility stay open later than before. And in addition, there's a nice new little railing behind the hitting areas with, bar stool type chairs that will allow people to sit out there and eat and enjoy food and beverage while they hit balls or wait for their partners to hit and they get their turn to go back up in the Top Tracer game.
That's going to change a lot of things for at Cog Hill. Keeping the action go on in there a little more at night, that'll I'm sure boost boost restaurant and barroom activity. I think it's really a good idea just for golfers. So they're going to have a lot of fun with that range into the evening from now on. And I commend Cog Hill for doing that. That's a real positive step that they've undertaken there.
There will be a brand new sort of welcome to Cog Hill sign going out on Archer Avenue so that when you drive up, the one that used to be there, apparently a little weather worn and things from over the years. And as a result, a brand new sign is under construction. There's a temporary one that is out there right now, a smaller one. The entrance area to Cog Hill getting redone as well. As you drive down Archer Avenue, will be very easy to see where the entrance to Cog Hill is going forward.
Well, I'm sure that the new sign will be nice, but all our friends, I think they've known where Cog Hill is for quite a while. It's probably the most popular golf course in Chicago for public players, and I'm looking forward to getting back over there. It's been a while since I've been able to be in Chicago and play Cog Hill, but I'm especially going to get over there. Of course, I'm a big fan of all their courses, but most notably the Ravines, number two course. That's been one of my favorites for years and years, and that'll be the first one I play once I get back to town.
Well, Len, one of the other products at Cog Hill that became very popular last year was the Cog Hill Long Drive Pale Ale with the unique beer cans. The cans had a aerial view of Dubstred on one half, a drone picture, and on the other half of the can was the historical picture of Joe Jemsek hitting his historic 501-yard drive off the tower at the World's Fair that won him $500, I believe, back in the day. Big money at the time. While the beer is not going to change, there is going to be two or three different styles of cans with different pictures on them, and I think that golf fans who enjoyed the Cog Hill Pale Ale last year are going to see it in different ways this year. But it'll be interesting to perhaps even collect a can of beer with all the different new style marketing and logos and pictures that are going to be on the side of the cans.
That blast that Joe had at 500, think about this one. He got a dollar a yard for that shot. Imagine if somebody hit a 500-yard drive today. What that'd be worth to a player there. But that's one of the real famous moments in golf in Chicago when Joe delivered that one. And it's something that, he carried his golf career to a whole lot of different levels, both as club owner and as tour player. But that is the one thing that I think is the most astounding to the average player, a player back in that era hitting a ball 501 yards. Admittedly, it was off of a very elevated tee, but it was certainly something that a lot of people have talked about for a lot of years.
Well, the other thing about Cog Hill, one of their other self-made products there is the Cog Hill Honey. And I know that you've had a chance to sample it. So have I. It's very good, especially on around breakfast time, breakfast treats. And the spring batch of Cog Hill Honey will be coming out shortly as well. And if you haven't had it yet, it's really good, isn't it, Lon?
Very good. You can't go wrong with that. You can't go. That's the thing with the golf courses are all trying a lot of new products. There's wines and beers and honey, and some of them have had their own gardens that supplement the food that they serve in the restaurants. It's golf's a changing game, and it's all changing for the better, not just on the golf course.
Well, and our friends at Mistwood, I caught up with a few of them yesterday, and good news there. Golf Digest has awarded Mistwood a national award for the different golf schools that they've been running. I had a chance to catch up with Director of Golf, Andy Michelson, and we talked a little bit about that. That interview and so forth will run on golfersongolf.com probably before the end of the weekend. But congratulations to Mistwood, a great golf operation. It's nice to know that even with Jim McWethy, the owner's passing last summer, that his family and the staff there are keeping things going and moving them forward. And I'd like to say really that they haven't missed a beat. Mistwood is as good as always.
Well, you know, that this is going to be a big year. Well, they're all big years for Mistwood, but this year they have the state amateur, the men's state amateur, and the they've always had the Illinois Women's Open. So two of the biggest tournaments of the Chicago golf season are going to be on that Ray Hearn designed golf course.
And within a couple of weeks, Andy Michelson's going to join Golfers on Golf Radio, and he will have all the details about the Illinois State Amateur and then the return of the Illinois Women's Open this year. Obviously, it missed last year because of the pandemic, but the Illinois Open will return to Mistwood this year. And as soon as we get those dates and all the details, Andy Michelson will join Golfers on Golf to spread the news on that. Speaking of women's golf, got some news about the Senior LPGA Championship that Mistwood Golf Pro Nicole Giray will be participating in again this year. It has been, last year there was no tournament because of the pandemic, but the previous couple of years, the championship had been held in October, and the resort and the LPGA made the decision to move it back into the summer, get the ladies playing in some warmer weather. July was the target date for last year, but those dates have shifted again into the end of August, somewhere about the third to fourth week of August. Senior LPGA Championship Week will be back at the French Lick Resort.
French Lick has done so much for senior women's golf. I don't think any club in the country has done nearly what Dave Herner and his staff there at French Lick have done for the senior women's players. We have a U.S. Senior Women's Open to go along with the Senior LPGA Championship there, so that accounts for the two majors for the players of the senior women's vintage, who've done so much for keeping the game going, getting it started and keeping it going over the last, well, probably since the 1950s, the LPGA was formed. So I'm glad to see that the senior LPGA will be played at much better dates, much more appropriate dates this year at French Lick.
Some of the other dates have come out a little bit, and one place that I was at this past week, I went over to the formerly known as Sportsman's Golf and Country Club on Dundee Road in Northbrook, operated by the Northbrook Park District, and the good news is that the club now will reopen under the name Heritage Oaks. And in talking with Director of Golf, Greg Barron, the good news is he is still hopeful. He said that they didn't get hit as hard as some of the other clubs in the North Shore did with winter mold from some of the difficult weeks that we had here in the Chicago area in winter. He is still hopeful, even though it's not definite, he's hopeful that they still might get that golf course open by the end of July, and if not July, some point in August for sure. I went through the brand new clubhouse where they just finished putting the big glass windows up, and they're preparing to build a patio on the backside so people can sit out and look at the first tee, the 18th green, and the massive new putting green that's gone in there. But they have a fantastic area with a couple of big simulators going in. There'll be a comfortable seating area with couches and chairs in between the two bays, and I have to tell you, nice job done by the Northbrook Park District in redoing their clubhouse, redoing their golf course, and think that when Heritage Oaks opens this summer, the people are going to want to get out there and they're going to want to play at the the facility really looks good, and especially the clubhouse. And Greg also had an announcement to make that the driving range. We have seen a few clubs. We talked about it with Cog Hill. We've talked about it with Mistwood introducing Top Tracer range for people to monitor their distances, yardage, play some games against friends that they might be there with. But there's going to be a different approach over at Heritage Oaks. They are going with TrackMan range. Mm-hmm. So anybody who's been through a club fitting or tested their yardage on TrackMan before, or has even perhaps if you watch the Masters, especially on the Golf Channel, live at the Masters that had a lot of video time out on the range, you saw the players warming up. A lot of them had the TrackMan, you know, piece of equipment behind them, the little board. They're monitoring their distances, the different things they were getting out of their swing while they were out on the range. And as far as I know, I know that there's some ranges around town that have Top Tracer range, but this might be the first fully TrackMan range anywhere in the Chicago area.
Yeah, I'm sure that's right. And you know, it's I know it, all this is a little bit down the road right now, but when the when everything, each step is taken to get that golf course, the old Sportsman's Course, once they get it all reopened, every step is going to be very significant, because that's going to be a great new addition. Before the year is out, that's going to be a great new addition to the Chicago golf scene in Northbrook.
I'm looking forward to getting out there, of course, myself and testing it out. And again, I think the golfers will really enjoy it when it opens again, the end of either July or early into August this year. We will see the return of, well, the new edition of Heritage Oaks. Won't be the return of Sportsman's anymore. It will be the return of, or the introduction of Heritage Oaks over at the Northbrook Park District there on Dundee Road. I was also out in Batavia yesterday, and it looks like from what I was able to see, work is progressing full speed ahead at Settlers Hill, which is closed for the year. Architect Greg Martin doing a renovation out there. A new clubhouse is going up there as well, and they seem to be full speed ahead and running. And of course, the plan is to try to get reopened by 4th of July of next year in 2022. But it looks like progress being made over at Settlers Hill.
Yeah, that's another that of course was a fun course to play even before Greg puts his touches on it. But it's going to be great to have more of the courses that are updated. It's exciting to see a new course come out in the Chicago area, and I'm sure it's going to get a lot more play. It's going to be it was good before, but it'll be much better now.
That will not be the only site in town with a new clubhouse, Settlers Hill and mm-hmm. Heritage Oaks. A new clubhouse will open at Fox Run in Elk Grove, and I had a chance to see that clubhouse last week, and they have made a lot of progress there since I previously saw it last November. Building, the shell of the building is up. The garages are built in and paved in for all of the maintenance vehicles that will be stored actually in the back end of the clubhouse and on the lower level, but a lot of progress being made there. And I know their target date was somewhere around Labor Day weekend to have the clubhouse going. But based on the progress I have seen already, it wouldn't surprise me if that clubhouse opens a little quicker than September, maybe August. We'll have to see. But great news for everybody that plays over at Fox Run and Elk Grove. The brand new clubhouse looks really good, and I'm sure the golfers there are going to enjoy it.
Yeah, with all the new course construction, but especially clubhouse construction going on in Chicago, I'm not so sure that that this particular year is going to beat all others for quite a while in having new updated facilities. You've talked about the ranges, you've talked about the courses and the clubhouses. You put them all together, it's amazing how many more new attractions there's going to be for golfers in Chicago.
Well, and of course, the other clubhouse that I'm looking forward to seeing an update on, perhaps tomorrow afternoon after the show, will be over at the Preserve at Oak Meadows. And my radio partner, Ed Stevenson, tells me that that clubhouse maybe only a few weeks away from totally reopening. As of right now, there's still some debate on what to do with the old pro shop. The pro shop is going to move into the new clubhouse, and the old pro shop may be kept for perhaps a winter golf facility with some simulators and things in there. We'll have to wait and see how they elect to do that. But looking forward to seeing the new clubhouse over at the Preserve at Oak Meadows. And again, apparently just a few weeks away now from opening up for the season.
Well, the Preserve at Oak Meadows, the golf course itself, was very well received. You know, that was a long time ago when the fire there destroyed the clubhouse that they had. And this will be the final finishing touches on what is for sure to be one of Chicago's very best public courses. So facilities, everything concluded, the clubhouse and the golf course itself. It's going to be outstanding.
Well, it sure will be, and I know that Greg Martin has been speaking with Ed Stevenson, and there's a couple things out there that they've seen ever since they've kind of learned how golfers like to play the golf course, and they might be a new tee box here or a couple changes in trees coming out or being added, but there might be some tweaks yet to the golf course, but it's a really good golf course now. One of the questions I have is once that clubhouse gets open, what happens next? I know that there's been some thought, there's been some talk about getting Greg Martin back over there to take a look at Maple Meadows or Green Meadows, the other two courses that make up DuPage Golf. And of course, we encourage everyone to visit DuPageGolf.com to enjoy the golf programs that is offered by the DuPage County Forest Preserve District. But it'll be interesting to see where they go after the clubhouse opens and how else they plan to improve their golf programs over at DuPage Golf.
Absolutely. Well, it's come a long way in just, you know, the last few years over there. I've become a big fan of what they've done at that, what Greg Martin and Ed and the group have done over there at the Preserve at Oak Meadows. It gets better and better every year now.
Len, we'll look forward to speaking to you tomorrow afternoon on Golfers on Golf Radio. And all of us are looking forward to getting back in the studio and talking golf with all the listeners on the air. And we look forward to you joining us tomorrow afternoon.
It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it, too.